Hey, this is Bradley Weber, and I'm super pumped that you're joining us today. If you're a part of our Release City family, whether in person or online, we would love to connect with you on our social media platforms at Release City Church or on our website at releasecitychurch.org. There, you can stay connected with what's happening within the ministry, as well as giving options and opportunities to connect with other Release City family around the world. Now, I hope today's message encourages you and inspires you to run your race and become all that God is calling you to be. Now, let's jump into today's message. Amen. Well, I'm so glad you're here today. You chose the right day to be here at Release City Church. And are you guys ready to jump into the message? Y'all ready to jump in? Let's do it. Let's do it. So this week I was thinking about Jesus. Anybody ever done that? I know some of y'all are going, well, Bradley, you're a pastor and we're all supposed to be Christians. So of course we think about Jesus. But no. I'm not talking about do you think about Jesus. I'm talking about throughout your day when you're facing certain situations and circumstances, when things pop up and life happens. How many know that life happens? There's bumper stickers that say other stuff, but life happens. Do you think about Jesus? Now, I'm not just saying, do you think about the Lord? I'm talking about, do you think about the 90s Christianity? What I mean is, y'all remember them bracelets we used to wear, WWJD. What would Jesus do? When life happens and things pop up, do you ever think about what would Jesus do? Chances are pretty good. I know how I am in the heat of the moment. I'm not thinking, well, Father, what would you do? I'm thinking, what do I need? I need to handle this right now. Huh? What? Yeah. So do you ever think about Jesus and what he was like when he walked this earth? Do you ever think about how he would handle the situation that you're in right now? Because after all, he's walking with you. He wants to help you through the situation. What would he do? What would it look like? What does Jesus look like? If you've been around planet Earth for a while, you probably, especially if you grew up in the 70s, and Hollywood has always came out, apologize for my voice, by the way. Not all of us had our college team win yesterday. And so this is what you got. Yeah, O-H-I-O again. Okay, anyway, so Hollywood has given us a picture of what their version of Jesus looks like. And back in the 70s, it was scary. I mean, he was like this little frail guy, real skinny, and just would walk into crowds and be like, follow me. I don't know why I just went to like Captain, what's that guy's name? The Caribbean movie? Yeah, I just went Jack Sparrow. Follow me. I mean, it was scary. That was, at that time, that was their version. Then in the 90s, TBN came out with The Passion or something that you would go to Orlando and you could see it every night of the weekend. And it was Jesus with long flowing hair that looked like he just jumped off of Fabio. It looked like he just jumped off the movie set of a shampoo commercial. You know, I mean, just like Jesus, you know, just he was handsome. And I'm like, it's scary. I don't think Jesus was like, you know, ugly or nothing. But I mean, I'm just saying, what did he look like? We have an idea. We also have an idea of how we think he handled things. But I also think for many, many years, the church has missed it. Everybody say missed it. When it comes to handling life. Based on the scripture, we know that Jesus was a likable guy. We know that people liked him. We know that people were drawn to him. We know that the children liked him. I don't know about you, but when our girls were small, they could always tell if that person was a little sketchy because they would hide behind mom and daddy's legs. You know what I'm talking about? Kind of like a dog when they kind of like Dexter does with your brother Kyle when he comes to the house. Dexter's like, that tail goes behind. He's like, I'm just not so sure. But that wasn't the way it was with Jesus. How many of us have missed it? Sure, the Bible says, and I was raised this way, we're called to be peculiar people. peculiar. That means, you know, not a little off, but there's something different about you. There's something peculiar. But the church has made it where we got to look crazy. Talking about the Holy Ghost. You say Holy Ghost, people think you're talking about Casper. I'm not coming to that church. The Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. There is absolutely nothing that God himself, he's three parts, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There's nothing the Holy Spirit is going to do. I know people in that part of the service, you've not seen me kind of do that in worship where I'm just flowing with what's in my spirit and what I'm feeling God is saying for other people in the room who need to hear that he can handle it. One thing you got to know about me is I follow the direction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen, and I'm not going to get crazy. Amen. And what do I expect for you? You to follow the leadership of the church. Amen. And not get crazy. Amen, it's just the way, it's just the order of things. So I'm saying all that to say we've missed it sometimes in the body of Christ. And I've said this before. Don't discredit Jesus or God based on someone else's interpretation of who he is. Don't count him out just because somebody else presented something that ain't got nothing to do with Scripture. On, it's got a lot to do with their flesh. On, so Jesus, people were attracted to Jesus. Listen, I'm typically not attracted, nor do I enjoy being around people that I'm scared of or freaked out over. That's what I'm trying to say. There's people that won't come to church because we presented a crazy, freaky Jesus. What are we missing? Have you ever been around somebody and after 60 seconds you're just like, you know what? I like that person. I don't know what you got, but I want some of that. Say some of that. That's D-A-T. That's apostrophe D. Some of that. I don't know what you got, but I want some of that. That's how Jesus was. There was something that he had on the inside of him. There was something that he carried that everybody wanted. And the same thing is true today. You carry it, but what are you doing with it? What are we missing? Can people say that about you? I'm just so glad they're here. Or do they say, I'm so glad they left? What are they saying about you? I want to speak to you today from this title, and today is an evaluation message. I do these a lot because I believe we should evaluate where we are in life, and because we always think, well, just because I came to church that I got it all together. That's not true, because I showed up and I ain't got it all together. He just said, here, you have the mic. God will use you in spite of you. So I want to speak to you from this subject today. What am I missing? What am I missing? We're talking about you. We're talking about your life. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Begin with verse 14. Philippians chapter 2. Begin with verse 14. How many glad you came to church today? Are you there yet? Philippians chapter 2 verse 14 says this. I'm going to read this in the Message translation. I love this. Do everything. Everybody say everything. Do everything readily and cheerfully. No bickering. No second guessing allowed. There's another translation that said, without complaining or arguing. And all my spouses in here said, oh me. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Then he goes on to say, go out into the world uncorrupted. He's talking to you and I. Go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. How many would agree with that, that we are living in a polluted day? Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Carry the light. Everybody say light. Carry the light-giving message into the night. I don't know about you, but that fires me up. It lets me know that It's an evaluation. How am I doing? What am I missing? That's how I want to be. When people are around me, I want them to be like, you know what? I got to get me some of that. You can't buy it in a can. You won't find it in a crushed up pill. Can't find it in a liquid. Drop it in a needle and stick it in your arm. It's called the power of the Holy Spirit. People ask me all the time, how in the world do you lead worship and speak? I'm like, it's just Jesus. because the worship ain't about me. And as long as he's giving me lungs and breath until the next person falls in line that is the person, I'll continue to do whatever God asks me to as long as I can. Are you willing to say the same? Listen, it's a perfect description of who we are supposed to be as a ministry. We've always said this. We want to be a life-giving, light-giving church. You ever been to a not life-giving church? Some of y'all have. That's why you're here. A life-giving church. You know, that's that church that they'll hold you hostage, and when you walk out, you feel they've told you how bad you are. I'm so bad. And then they close out the service with, "Have a blessed day. Go in the fear of the Lord." I need to have reverential fear of God, but I don't need to fear him. And when we try to convince people too, that's not what God was doing. I mean, he walked out on a hillside and 5,000 people gathered around him. That's a dude that people like to be around. Do people want to be around you, or do they see you and they take their buggy and they go to the back of Walmart and scan the back, you know, that back aisle. You run that back aisle till you get to the other side so you don't have to see nobody. Me too. How'd you know I came up with that one so fast? I know where the dog food is, and I know where my tools are on the other side, so there's no sense in me going down through the middle. I just escape, right? I'm just kidding. Listen, our message is simple here at Release City, and it's simply this. Nobody is perfect. The Bible actually even says that no, not one. Here at Release City, we have a desire to fill this room up every week with messed up people, including your pastor and his family. That's what we want to fill this room up with. The day that it gets filled up with perfect people trying to look perfect because they ain't perfect, that's trying, "Well, I got it all together and blessed, and here's my check." Take your check. I told a pastor this week, and that sounds ugly, and I don't mean it that way. But I've been in ministry a long time, and I've seen people who write a check to think now they get to steer and direct the church. There's nobody in here like that, so don't feel like Pastor B's, you know, trying to push an agenda. I'm just telling you. I want this room to be filled up with broken, jacked up, messed up people who trying to get right. But aren't you thankful for a God who doesn't leave you and leave me the same way he found us? Every week when you come in here, I want to give you a life-giving, light-giving message. But hear me. Here's where we miss it. It's got to be more than just showing up to church every week and giving you an encouraging message. It's got to be more than that. People need to get an encouraging message from you when they get around you. It's not come to church. No, it's when they get around you, they need to get light in the darkness. Light exposes darkness, but only the light that comes from the Heavenly Father can take care of spiritual darkness. There's a lot of people who they look like they're walking in the light. They got everything shining and looking good and everything, but they dark on the inside. I can put on a new shirt and some new kicks, but if my spirit is dark, only God can take care of my darkness. Man, I'm just telling you, we on another level, y'all. What are we missing? Come on, say it with me. Say, what am I missing? Can I tell you the problem that a lot of non-believers have with Christians? You know, it's the people that aren't sitting in the empty seats today. Can I tell you what they got a problem with? It all relates back to how we carry ourselves. This is no revelation. You are the only Jesus people see. Listen, I know some Christians that couldn't spell joy if you spotted them two letters. We careful about who we want up at the guest services because you only get one time to make a first impression. Joy, how you spell that? Listen, what am I saying? We have a marketing problem. I'm not talking about social media. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. We have a marketing. We have a branding issue. And the brand is you. Say, what am I missing? Listen, when you eat out, leave a big tip. I do. I want the waitresses in our local city. I want them to fight when the Webbers come in. I want them to say, I got their table because they know what I did last time. I'm not building me up. But I've always said, I don't have a lot, but I've always said, God, whatever I have, I'm going to give it away. As long as my family's taken care of, I'll give it away. So when you go out, leave a tip. Big tip. How do we get this wrong? I saw this quote yesterday. It said, one of the worst feelings is working to convince people of the beauty of the church and God only to have that perception tainted by another Christian's bad attitude. Actually, it was worded just a little different, but I put my spin on it. That last part, I put my spin on that. Yes, one of the worst feelings is working to convince people of the beauty of the church and who God is, only to have that perception tainted by another Christian's bad attitude. It's so true. Oh, we could show up on the weekends and do church really good. We do church really good. But it all comes down to this. Do we have a relationship with Jesus? Hear me. A true relationship with Jesus will help you hold it together when everything around you is falling apart. A true relationship will help you keep it together. Listen, let me tell you, the past, it's almost been a year. 11 months, I didn't keep it, I wasn't together. I was trying the best I could. But the way that I can stand here today is because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And now because of my hurt and my pain and my disappointment, I'm able to sit with other pastors who almost have a carbon copy of my story. I'm able to sit down with them throughout the week. I told somebody this week, I said, had you reached out to me 2 months ago, I would not have been able to help you. And he was like, are you serious? I was like, you have no idea. And then as he began sharing, I was like, that was me. But how are you getting where you are today? Jesus. Jesus. Listen, I've had some rough spots in my life. The things that I've went through, and what I'm going through right now is not greater than where I'm headed. The things that I've went through and the things that I'm going through right now are not greater than the place and the destination that I'm headed. I went through there, but I decided not to stay. Matter of fact, usually it's where you're headed that's bringing the storm that you're in. What you're facing it because of where you're headed. Too many Christians, it's like when you pull your car out of a garage in a storm. Well, everything's safe. You washed it, you pulled it in the garage. It looks real good sitting in there, but it's not being used for what it's supposed to. You pull it out, it's in a storm. Too many Secret Service Christians trying to do a covert operation. What do you do in the middle of a bad situation? Anybody ever had a bad day? Anybody ever had a flat tire on a good day? Ever found a day that it was like, this is a good day to have a flat tire? It's like, you just rolled right in the tire shop. Thank you, Jesus. That's not usually how it works. Usually works when you're out on the side of the road and you realize that your spare ain't there. Spare ain't there. Are you trying to find that AAA number? Realize you didn't pay the bill? You blame it on your spouse? Now I'm stuck on the side of the road, honey, because you didn't pay the bill. What do you do in the middle of a bad situation? There's a guy in the Bible by the name of Paul, and Paul is a master at responding to bad situations with a Christ-like perspective. Remember, you should be able to see how I'm tying all this together. It matters your view of God, because how you view him determines if you run to him when you're in the middle of a mess. How you view him determines if you'll run to him when you're in the middle of a mess. Let's go to Philippians 1, chapter 12. I'm going to read from the NLT. It says this. This is Paul writing to the church. That's you and I today. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here, everybody say here, everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. Everybody say here. What you need to understand in context is this man is in prison. I'll give you a description of what that prison. This guy's in prison, and he's okay with where he's at and what's happening to him. How many of you rolled up in here today not okay with where you are and what's happening to you? That's why we're doing this talk today. This seems crazy to me. Look, I get frustrated when I roll up to Walmart with my toilet paper and my Downy fabric softener, trying to go through the self-checkout line, and there's some crazy person up there with two buggies trying to self-scan. And all I got is two things. I have never understood how come there's not a sign that says 10 items or less. Now, if you that one that likes to do the two buggy thing, stop. Because I ain't perfect. He ain't through with me yet. You will see Hood be. Holy pastor and Hood pastor. It's true. I get crazy when you up there scanning one by one, and all I need to do is like just drop these two and let me slide, right? This guy, this joker, Paul, is in prison talking about everything has happened to me. I'm cool with it. Somebody's like, this pastor's lost his mind. Talking about I'm supposed to face my storm and say, I'm cool with it. Well, with Jesus. How is it that Paul has so much joy? Somebody say, what am I missing? How is it that he has so much joy? Listen, he was in the inner cell. You can Google this. It's called the Mamertine Prison. It'll show you a picture. And it says he was in the inner cell. The inner cell is called, what do they call that? Isolation? It's solitary confinement on top of solitary confinement on top of solitary confinement. They got a hole, and they tie a rope around his waist, and they drop him in a hole. The reason they leave that around his waist is because where the hole is, that's where sewage runs through the bottom of the prison. And in case it rains, they pull up on it so he doesn't suffocate in caca. That wasn't tongues. That was a nice way of saying, y'all know. It was the inner cell. How do we get to the place? How do we get to this place like Paul? I don't know about you. We got some pretty bad days, but I have never been lowered in a hole with a rope and have to dangle my feet above floating stuff. My bad day does not compare to his. Even if you're here today and you know what, I've done prison time. Let me tell you something. Our prisons ain't nothing compared to where Paul was. And Paul was like, I'm good with it. Let's keep reading. We got to understand that our problems do not dictate God's power. And then when we realize that our hard times cannot steal our hope, Paul tells us in Philippians a few chapters later. Let me read 13, and then I'll jump over to 4:12. So 1:13 says this: for everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ, and because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. Can I tell you that scholars believe that on the every hour on the hour that the guards will be changed out from being over the top of the hole where Paul was at? You don't want to know why? Because if they spent too much time, Paul would convert them. So they changed the guards out every hour on the hour so he didn't have time. That's a dude that ain't looking about, well, it's a poor pit. It's just life just stinks sometimes. No, he was like, okay, this is where I'm at today. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. And the reason I'm here is because of Jesus. And I'm still cool with it. Now, that's somebody who's got something on the inside that I want. That what I'm going through does not dictate if I believe God's power can do it, can get me out of this, or help me to walk through it. Philippians 4:12 in the NIV says this: I know what it is. This is how do we get to where Paul was? I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret. Everybody say secret. I have learned the secret. The secret is what we're missing. Of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. He said, I found the secret in being content. Now, contentment means a state of happiness or satisfaction. That's not what contentment means to many of us in this room. What's contentment mean to many of us in this room? Well, man, I've just learned to be content. It's just my life. And I don't like it. But I'm just going to be content. Paul said, I've learned to be content, satisfied, and happy with where I am. I know I'm scrubbing somebody real strong today against, I don't like this, pastor. I don't like this stuff. I wonder what God is trying to deliver you from that you have learned how to live with and God is desperately trying to get you away from. Y'all know Perry? Anybody live in Perry? Oh, I wasn't planning on that, but it's okay. I love y'all and y'all love me. So when I used to live in Georgia and I used to come to visit, I would always come down 75 and one of my friends back home said, hey, there's another way you can go to avoid all the possible accidents and stuff. And so I went through this little town called Perry. Yeah? I never forget, there was an accident in Perry. I'm stuck in Perry. I'm like, I thought I went on this road so I would avoid the accidents. But you know, the people who live in Perry, they don't smell it as much. To them, it smells like money. It's a paper mill. I don't know what else they got going on in there because I ain't never smelled no paper smelling like poop. I had to say it. I couldn't help it. I wonder how many of us are in stinky situations that it doesn't even bother us anymore because we've been hanging out there too long. Nothing against people in Perry. It's paying for little Timmy's truck, putting fuel in Sis's car. I get it. But there's a danger in hanging out because you will be accustomed to it. And it will desensitize you and you won't even know it. I'm no longer talking about paper mills and Perry. I'm talking about us being stuck in stinky situations. It's a dangerous thing. What I'm saying is, if you're not careful, you'll get stuck in an unhealthy situation. So how do we get unstuck? I'm coming down. How do we get unstuck? How do we get free? Here's my first point. Recognize that you need to be free. Well, how do I know if I need to be free? Well, this is one of the first telltale signs is you've learned how to fake it. What's dangerous is you can get so good at faking it that not even those closest to you recognize that you're faking it and need help. It's true. You can get so good at putting on the Christianese. You can roll up in here, Pastor B, think you're doing great. Everybody else think you're doing great. But there are times that we know and you don't even know. The people that you think don't know, because a lot of times we're sick and don't recognize that we're sick. Because we've been sick for a long time and we just learn to deal with it. We get content with it. It's just my life. Ain't nothing I can do about it. That's not true. You showed up here today because you know that something can be done. I'm trying to help us, you and I both, get there. Listen, my job as a pastor isn't just to encourage you and preach a feel-good message. Hold on. I also have the responsibility of exposing you to you. That's my job. That's my responsibility. It's to talk about things that you don't like to talk about. Talk about things that have positioned you where you are and you don't like the outcome, so I'm trying to get us to a place where we move past where we are. My job is to show you that there's some holes in your life that need to be fixed, and only God can fix them. Jeremiah 6:14 says this, and he's addressing this. He says, they dress the wounds of my people as though it were not serious. They say things like, peace, peace, where there is no peace. That's a church that's telling you, I know you're broke, but peace. No, let's talk about your brokenness. Let's talk about my brokenness. And then let's talk about what the steps we need to take to be made whole. This verse is written to pastors and ministry leaders who are telling people, oh, it'll be okay, when they clearly are not okay. Listen, it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to not know that you're not okay. Did you follow that? It's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to not know that you're not okay. And the sign down the wall says it's okay to not be okay as long as you don't stay that way. I'm not okay, but I refuse to stay there. That's why I do life with you, and you do life with me, because we can be real. This is why I encourage you to connect with people within the ministry. That's why I say, ladies, connect when there's opportunities, when you have ladies' Bible study, to connect. It's not even about the book study they're doing. It's about the relationships that are happening. I had somebody call, and I was Amy the other day, and I was listening. I had me walking through the house, and it was just giving some feedback about Bible study. And listen, if they don't cover all the material in that one night that they're supposed to, that's okay. If somebody's life, if they were allowed to be free about where they are, the whole thing is about getting free. It's not about the book. It just so happens that the book teaches us how to get free. So don't feel like you come in, it's a free-for-all, let's just talk about all my woos and woes. The book will tell you how to get free. But that's why I'm saying, get connected to a ladies group. Men, let's get connected once a month when we do our men's outings and going to breakfast together. There's something that happens. Do life together. Build meaningful relationships so you can open up about where you are. Listen, I don't open up about everything that I've got going on in my life. But I got some of those people around me that I can open up to because I know they'll love me in spite of me. My wife is the first one. Then there's just a couple more. That's it. So how do you know if you're stuck and need to get unstuck? Number two, you've just said these words, and we've all said it. I'll just deal with it later. I'll just deal with it later. I got too much going on. How many parents in here ever told your kids, could y'all have just lost y'all's mind tomorrow? I got too much going on today. Anybody ever said it? Deal with it later. I'll deal with the problems in my marriage later. I'll deal with the challenges in my career later. I'll deal with the issues that I'm having with my kids where I blame them for my own dysfunctions. Oh, later. I could have swore I'd have had some parents say, but I think some toes just sunk up in the shoes right there. We say things like, what's wrong with you? When we should be saying, what's wrong with me? That's why today we're saying, let's talk about what am I missing? Can I just take, and we got to do this every day. That's why you said it today. And that's why every day, the Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. You got to show up every day. It's not a once in a month. We got once a month Bible readers. And wondering why we don't have the tools equipped to face tomorrow. Can I just take the pressure off of you? When you get saved, you're not going to turn into the perfect little Christian overnight. As a matter of fact, hot news flash, you will never, ever, never be the perfect Christian, ever. How many churches preaching that message? You're not going to be perfect, ever. On this earth, because you have a sin nature inside of you. But go back to the word every day. Have a I'm cool. I'm glad you love your church. I'm glad you have a relationship with those in your church. It's my prayer that you like me as a pastor. I really hope you like my the way I communicate and the jokes and things like that. But that's not the point. The point is, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Listen, Jesus died in your place because of your sin, and he did it so you wouldn't have to. Amen. I'll deal with my anger issues later. If you don't deal with them now, they'll be passed down to your kids. Refusing to deal with your issues means it will get passed down. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm almost done. It says, 4:31 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Get rid of it. What's that mean in the Greek? Get rid of it. Deal with it. Stop putting it off. Start getting unstuck today and deal with it. In closing, what's the danger of not dealing with it? What's the danger of avoiding this message, waking up from your sleep, and going, I'm so glad he said in closing. What's the danger? Because then you'll move into where you start saying, I'm just giving up. That's the danger of saying, I liked his jokes today, but I'm good where I'm at. You're not good where you are. You can be content and your situation not be good. What's content? Satisfied and happy. Contentment is not based on where Paul's at in the prison. Contentment is not based on your circumstance. I want to learn to be content with where I am, regardless if I don't like the place. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking, that sounds great, Pastor B. But if you really knew who I was, if you really knew the things that I've done, if you really knew my mindset, even now, you would not say that all of this applies to me. Correction, it does apply to you. I'm tired of people walking in here feeling like they less than because they got a past. That's why I'm upfront and honest. I got one too. And I don't mind sharing my past. But the devil has a way of using my vulnerability to mess up your journey. The only person I need to, the only person that can cover my sins is him. So don't ever walk in here feeling like I'm not good enough. You're just enough. God, do it in this city. Do it in this city. Do it in this city. Our church might have to have a track in the sanctuary. Y'all can join me if you want to, but Pastor B might start running. I thought you said you wasn't into that freaky stuff. It gets freaky when you don't understand, but what I'm telling you is this little 46-year-old bald-headed preacher, when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you cannot control it, I'm not talking about your flesh, because sometimes we're programmed to help the Holy Ghost. He does not need my help. If I take off running, it's not because I want you to see me. It's because I want him to see me. And I want the devil to know he ain't got me. I ain't running from him. I'm running to what God has for me. I don't run from the devil. I ain't scared of him. Y'all are not ready. I'm just telling you. Go home and read John 5, 39 and 40. And then read Romans 5, 8. Well, I'll read that one for you. But God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died. I hadn't even showed up on planet Earth and made dumb decisions, and he still died for me. That's some love. So if you're here today and you feel like you've blown it, no, you hadn't. I notice it for somebody. I feel it. Stop letting your joy being dictated by what's going on around you and start pulling your joy from the one who lives in you. I'm going to say it again. Stop letting your joy be dictated by what's going on around you and start pulling your J-O-Y, in case you needed some help, J-O-Y from the one who lives in you. No matter if things look bad around you, remember that God is still good. Your circumstance do not dictate his description. Even locked up in prison, Paul still had joy. He still witnessed to the prison guards. And I came today to tell somebody that even in your storm, God has you. God has you. He wants to use your storm to show you He's still God of peace. He wants to use your problems to show you that He's still God of promise. And He wants to use your disease to show He's still the God that delivers. Let me pray for you. I don't think I need to say anything else. I've taken up too much of your time. So God, I thank you for every person in here today. I thank you that they made the sacrifice to come and to be in your house. And God, I thank you. It was our prayer from the very beginning that you would change us today. And I believe there's some hearts that are being changed in this moment. You felt like a failure. God calls you a winner. You felt alone. You're on the right team. You don't have family. You're in the right place. Bible says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. He's wanting to do a new thing in you. Bible says, old things are passed away. And at the moment you surrender, old things are passed away. All things become new. Don't allow your outside issues to discourage you from what God is doing in you. Somebody say, what you mean? You've had that habit for a long time. It took you years to get there. Yes, I believe God can deliver you overnight. I believe that. But don't allow the enemy to convince you that there is not a work happening in you because you ain't seen it on the outside. Let me tell you something about this ministry. You may have had a drink in your hand last night. And I work by a priority list based on what God's word says. And He works from the inside out. We can talk about that drink in your hand later. But I want to talk about, where's your soul? Now, I'm also convinced that there's places that He wants to take you, that there's things that you can't take with you. Ha ha! I love stuff just like you do, but there's a place that I'm going. I can't take that stuff with me, and I can't take some of the people that I used to hang out with me, because they're not prepared to go, and I can't let them hold me back from where God is taking me. He's talking to somebody in this room. I know it's 12:16. I'm not sorry, because somebody's been struggling this week. And I'm not that pastor trying to hold you hostage. That's not me. I've been a part of those churches. Like, God, deliver him and set him free. Make that mic shut off. I prayed in prayers. I did. I'm just being honest with a little humor. So you know I'm always being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. There is somebody in this room who has struggled with your past. It's there. Stop picking it up. So if you're here today and you say, man, I can't be held back by my past. I've been missing it. And today I want to stop missing it. Maybe you want to lay some things down. I'm not asking you what they are. You know what they are. You know who the relationships are that's preventing you from getting where you're supposed to be. And today you want God to help you step forward. If you're in this place, on the count of three, I want you to stand to your feet. You don't have to come down here. Not asking you to. You want to be set free? You want to stop missing it? I invite you to stand. All I'm going to do is pray over you. People already standing. I ain't even counted to three. One, two, three. Set free. Set free. Set free. Set free. Set free. Set free. It was like when, somebody say, why did I have to stand? Because it was like when you stood up. Cole, come stand right here. And just kind of hunch down a little bit. Like hunch down, like that. Yeah. So it was like whatever that thing is that's been trying to hold you down. When I count to three, he's going to stand up. I know this looks funny, but it's okay. The reason I had you stand is because what I just saw in the spirit just then, didn't know why I had you to stand, but I know now. Because when you stand, one, two, three, that stuff just fell off and you're now standing. You left the place that you once were because of your obedience to stand. Don't pick it up again. Don't call that person again. I don't know who I'm talking to. Set free. Set free. God is not interested in your past. It's gone. Get the monkey. I'm talking to you, Bradley. I like your name. Get the monkey off your back. That's the devil. Tell him to go to hell. Your past does not disqualify you from the future that God has for you. You stand up in your rightful place. You let those tears flow, my friend. You stand up in your rightful place. You be the daddy that you're called to be, and you be the man of God that God already knows that you are. I will never call a person out, but the Holy Spirit said he needs to know. You hook up with people that are going to speak destiny into your life and stop worrying about the enemy talking about where you've been. You're not there anymore. If you're here today, in closing, with those that are standing, if you say, I want to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior, I need to know that if I died right now, and in the crazy world we're living in, I can't guarantee anything, but I can guarantee you this. If you know Jesus, you will not die. You may depart from here, but you are still alive. My parents are not dead. They are not. I don't have some misconception. They are not gone. If that was the case, then I'm a liar. The word of God is a liar, and I'm wasting your time. They're not dead. They're just not here. I can't see them. So how do I ensure that I'll see them again? I have a relationship with Jesus. I say no to the things that this world is trying to hold on to me so I can't be about what God wants me to be about. And that's flipping this city upside down for his kingdom. Not my kingdom, not my church. It's not mine. You're not mine. You're his. You belong to him. And that sickness has to go in Jesus' name. Disease, whatever it is, I'm not trying to put a label on it. It does not matter, because his name is greater and higher than any name I could describe what you're going through. It has to be broken in Jesus' name. Set free in Jesus' name. I'm tired of watching it, and you're tired of living it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that your holy fire would fall, burn out anything that is inside of him that has not been put there by you, and we rebuke the enemy and the attack of the enemy now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I don't know if y'all ready. I don't know if you're ready. I don't know if you're ready. Somebody say, what you pumping us up for? I don't know, but I feel it and I'm ready. I don't know what it is. I feel it and I'm ready. In your prayer time this week, pray for my brother. Pray for Mike. Pray for Michael. Stand in the gap. Ask him for his number today. Shoot him a text. Encouraging. Let me tell you something. Isolation is a tool that the enemy uses to stay in your zone. Don't nobody in this house should ever feel alone. Ever. Never, never, never. And for his wife, Jordan, I have a hard time remembering their name. You know Michael Jordan? There you go. She's having to pick, I'm not drawing attention. She's having to pick up the heavy weight. It breaks my heart as a pastor. We're doing all that we can do. The next person is God. He's got to do it. And I want to cry out to God. Enough is enough. Strengthen them in Jesus' name. If you're here, and in closing, and you say, I want to know that I know Jesus, would you please lead me in a prayer right where I'm standing or right where I'm sitting? If you're here today and you want to make Jesus Christ your Lord, maybe you've never done it, or you have and you want to rededicate, right now is the time. On the count of three, shoot your left hand up as fast as you can. 1, 2, 3. All over this room. All over this room. Maybe you're at home watching live. It doesn't matter. God wants to say, repeat this prayer with me. Oh God. Come on, everybody in the house. Oh God. I come before you today confessing my sins. I'm truly sorry for my sins. I believe that your only son Jesus died for me on the cross of Calvary. And I believe that he conquered sin and he conquered death. And today, say your name. Come on, say your name. Say it, shout it out. And today, say it again. And today, I'm set free. I'm set free. Thank you, Father, for coming into my heart, coming into my life. Be my Lord, be my Savior, be my deliverer. In Jesus' name, come on, give Jesus Christ a hand clap of praise.
If you enjoyed today's message, I want to encourage you to like it or share it on social media, or head over to our website at releasecitychurch.org and click on the giving link and help us to continue to share the message of Jesus and his hope with the world. God bless you. Have an awesome week.